Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, it is glorious. It is Tuesday. Welcome in. It's a busy world out there. Thanks for choosing us. The show is called The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. First hour flew by. The great Peter Schrager giving you all sorts of information in his secluded grotto in Brooklyn. I think that's where he said he was at. Joy Taylor, who just got back from Italy. You should follow her on Instagram because her pictures were amazing. You and your friend, who I do not know, but she seemed to be gloriously happy as well.
It was a great trip. Yeah, she's a friend of mine from high school.
And, you know, you're very good at that. You are very good at that high school, college thing. You've got a lot of friends.
You know, it's funny. We were talking about that, and I actually have a lot of close friends still from high school.
Like, good for
still,
you.
Like, still my closest friends.
Oh, I bailed on all those people. I have a lot of friends. You know, it's funny about that. I bounced around so much that I have one or two friends from every place I was at.
Yeah.
But I grew up in a tiny, tiny, you know, rural school, and I just don't know where a lot of people went. Like, you had to leave my hometown. We all left.
Yeah. I don't think any of my maybe one or two of my closest friends are still in Pittsburgh, but a lot of them have left. So we're all in different parts of the world now. But yeah, it was a great, great trip.
You went to Italy with a high school friend.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Thanks. It was fun.
Mike Vick will be joining us in a couple of minutes. So this is interesting. And this isn't really a personal story. I can't personalize this, but this happens all the time, right? You're in a family and you are the hardest worker in your family. Now, my sister is a hard worker too, but there are times, many of you listening on your radios this morning or on television, you're a hard worker. And maybe your brother and your sister aren't as hardworking as you, and you just simply have, it's not that you're smarter, you have better life habits. You go to bed early, you get up early, you're kind of a grinder, you're very responsible, you're not as emotional, and you've done well. And it's not that you don't love your cousin, your brother, your sister, but their habits aren't your habits. You know what I mean? They're like, not the kind of people that you say, hey, can you take me to the airport tomorrow? Because you don't know if they'll be up by noon, right? And so I tend to think people who are professionally successful, it's not about IQ, it's not about this, it's what are your habits? I tell my kids this all the time. What are your life habits? You know, are you dependable? Do you work hard? Are you responsible? And it's interesting. Tom Brady, obviously, is that to the nth degree. But Arians comes to Tampa, a losing culture, where good was always good enough. And then what did I say when Brady went from New England to Tampa? Joy is my witness. I said it a dozen times. My only concern is he's a winner. They're losers. Will they be able to handle Brady's intensity? I never worried that Tom could play. The idea that Brady's arm is shot is dumb. Watch the games. It's not as good as it was 10 years ago, but Tom's still got a top 12 arm in the league. Accurate, smart, got a really good arm. But I said, my concern was, man, when you are intense and you are a winner and you have great habits and you then walk into a building where it's 4 o'clock, I'd watch film, but hey, Ybor City is rocking tonight. And we watched early last year, Tom in Chicago, barking, barking, barking at teammates, screaming at them. Good is not good enough, playa. It's not good enough. So have you noticed Tom Brady in this camp throwing his helmet, dog cussing teammates? Bruce Arians, also a winning history, ripping his players. Here's Bruce Arians yesterday.
After a day off, our offense just stinks, and they got to break that habit. But defensively, they answered the bell. They came out and dominated the entire practice, and it was good to see. Drop passes, missed assignments on basic plays. It's just a lack of concentration. Back in the day, we'd be out here running the out of them, but that don't work anymore. Go to jail for that stuff now. No, they just got to grow up and man up. I mean, it's been identified, so you got to fix it. I'm not going to fix it. You got to fix it.
You think it's a coincidence that Brady and Arians are all over these guys? There's a reason. Those guys are winners. They're intense. They have a history of winning. They have high standards. Arians doesn't need to coach. He could retire. He's got a lot of money. Brady doesn't need to play. And both of them are afraid of something that's very real, is when you give people who are satisfied with good enough a taste of success and you pay them, everybody got paid in Tampa. It's just natural. Most humans aren't self-motivated. Just slide back to, go to Ybor City tonight. Got a little time, single, got a little time. Arians and Brady are all over these guys because they know when you don't win and then you win and you get paid big boy money, it is very natural. Most human beings are not self-motivated to just a little slide back. Leave a little. Never forget Brady's first Super Bowl following year. They didn't make the playoffs. They weren't terrible. New England wasn't terrible. They were 9-7. Just weren't quite as crisp offensively. So this was my concern with Brady. Winner into a losing culture. Tom yelled, screamed, fought to a championship. And he is going to make sure, he and Arians, I guarantee it, they've talked about this stuff privately. I guarantee it. Brady and Arians are like, we're not going backwards. Because I was in New England. We won a Super Bowl. Next year, we didn't make the... We were 9-7. That was it. So I love it. I don't think it's a coincidence. Mike Vick, Fox Sports, sitting back there listening to me ramble. I think he's in Florida now, joining us live. 4 Pro Bowls, 13 years. You know, it is interesting. How are you? Good to see you, Mike. So I'm just talking about, you know, the whole Brady Arians thing is it's natural. Everybody gets the bag. Everybody gets their money. You've been in locker rooms like that. When you get the big contract, it's easier to leave work a little early, is it not?
2011, we got laid with the Dream Team by my man Vince Young. I love him to death, but man, we all got paid. I got paid. Awesome Y got paid. Vince got a little money. Everybody got a dollar, an extra dollar. And, you know, we started out 0-4, or maybe 1-4, to my recollection, but... You know, it's easy to get complacent, man. Like you say, you get that bag, you get that money, and, you know, it's all other type of distractions. Like, you could easily be in practice and thinking about your house in South Beach. For real. Like, it's a real thing. So, you know, I get where they're going. I understand, you know, Bruce Arians taking, you know, right now is the time to be honest with the guys and be hard on them, because it's so easy to get sidetracked with what, you know, you've been given and all the splendor that's in front of you.
You know, it's interesting. Josh Allen didn't go to a powerhouse high school. He didn't go to a powerhouse college football program. And he struggled his first year in the NFL. And I was saying, listen, you know, there are quarterbacks like Peyton Manning who have a dad that played in the NFL, great high school, great college, and they should be better early. And then there's the Josh Allens. And I look at him and I think, well, hell, where did he come from? And a lot of times, Mike, these quarterbacks go to a bad organization, a city that's impatient, or they never get the great coordinator. And so Josh Allen, to me, had he gone to Jacksonville, he could be a mess right now. He'd just be a talented kid who can't get it right. Go back to your NFL career and the value of a strong support system.
I mean, it's everything, especially for a quarterback. And when expectations are high, year one and year two, because we set high expectations ourselves as quarterbacks, so we can't exceed those expectations if we don't have the proper, you know, players around us. And, you know, I was at a football camp, the University of South Carolina, speaking, you know, with the guys yesterday. And, you know, as we went through practice and I was just out there talking to some of the guys, I realized that the most important part to an offense is the offensive line. You know, if you don't have an offensive line, if you're not clicking it on all cylinders in that regard, then the quarterback is going to fail severely, and you're not going to have a chance to even attempt to win games. So, you know, while the supporting cast is probably the most important, you know, you have these guys who are drafted high, super talented, uber talented, but if they don't get the pieces around them, they just don't succeed. It's just the nature of the business on all levels, high school, college, and pro.
Zach Wilson did not look good this weekend. I think he looks small. He looks small. Yeah. And there's a little Manziel there. He's small. He's a little cocky. He comes from some money. And I think, man, this is a hard play. Johnny went to Cleveland. Zach's going to the Jets. Not great ownership situations. But that's just a scrimmage, so I don't want to overreact to it.
Yeah.
What will you see, Michael? What will you see with Zach Wilson? And you will go, okay, this ain't good. Will there be a warning sign for you?
Well, what I read in the scrimmage about the scrimmage didn't surprise me. You know, he's young, and you can have jitters in that first scrimmage. It's probably one of your toughest practices that you're going to have, especially against the defense that you practice against every day and see the things that you are doing every day on a consistent basis. You're not really set up for success. You know, I judge Zach Wilson come preseason. I have a better assessment of where he could potentially go, you know, after the preseason going into the regular season. And I think he should be a week one starter. It's not the ideal place for a first round quarterback to get off to a bad start. Even Mark Sanchez, I own colleague Mark Sanchez, got off to a good start, which helped him, you know, in the latter years. It's important, you know, to start fresh and get the crowd engaged and get the city engaged and, you know, have some amazing moments early, you know, for Zach Wilson to have success, I think.
Finally, when you – Russell Wilson came out, and he's been very vocal this offseason. He, like – Dwayne Brown right now is holding out. He's going to practice, but he hasn't practiced yet. Now, he's a veteran left tackle. Dwayne's fine. He'll be fine. He's top five left tackle in football.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Russell's like, we got to take care of him. And
yes.
Now, you were a guy like Russell that doesn't have to have the perfect offensive line because you can run around. But there are players on that offense that Aaron Rodgers, Brady with Gronk, Russell Wilson, that they makes them feel more comfortable upstairs in their head. Did you have a guy that you were just like, it mattered, like it, regardless of position, like you felt comfortable coming out of the huddle with blank guy?
Jason Peters, when I was in Philadelphia, and he wasn't even on my blind side. You know, he was a left tackle, but he was a guy that I knew regardless of what, the best defensive end, the best defensive player lineup in front of him, he going to take care of him. And not only that, you know, he was a leader amongst the guys. You know, when Kelsey was young and Lane Johnson was young, you know, Jason was a guy who they could lean on. Jason was the unsung hero in that room and the reason that the Philadelphia Eagles was able to thrive for a couple years, even after I left and still to this day. So, you know, I needed Jason Peters. You know, you need that tackle left or right to protect you. And it's just the comfort level that those guys give you, not just by blocking the best defensive end, but throughout the week when you're sharing stories and you're talking and you asking him how he going to game plan for this guy, you see that he's super confident and know that he's going to take care of the guy in front of him, which could be the best defensive player. Jason Peters was that guy for me. So I understand, you know, what Dwayne Brown means to Russell Wilson.
What'd you do this offseason, buddy? Where'd you go? What'd you play some – did you work on your 7-iron or what did you do?
You know what? I'm about to get around there today. Been traveling, left the university, went to the University of South Carolina yesterday and visited with Shane Beamer. He's doing a great job out there, you know, building culture with those guys and now in the SEC. So they're hanging out, spending some time around the game of football, and that's what I love to do, Colin. Always good to enlighten myself on what's going on, new defenses, new systems. Just staying abreast of what's going on in the game of football.
All right, Michael. You look great. Great scene. You can't wait to see you
Thank
again,
you.
Buddy.
Can't wait to see you.
All right. Michael Vick. Good for him. I got to get to this because I have to admit when I'm wrong, and I was wrong on something, and I have to admit it. Listen, it's infrequent, as Joy knows. Yeah, well, every couple years I whiff on something. I gotta, you know, honestly, I can't wait till the show is over. I want to hear more Joy in Italy stories. I gotta get over there. Man.
You do. Wow. It's amazing.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Thursday, the Yankees and White Sox travel to Iowa in the site of the most beloved baseball movie of all time to play an historic regular season matchup on the real Field of Dreams. You won't want to miss it. The MLB Field of Dreams game presented by Geico. Coverage begins Thursday at 6 Eastern on Fox and the Fox Sports app.
So that's 3 o'clock here out west. That'll be fascinating to look at. That's a great sports movie, by the way. Kevin Costner.
Yeah, you're not even a big sports movie guy. So Miracle and Field of Dreams.
Miracle, the hockey movie, is the best I've ever seen. Field of Dreams is probably second.
I can't believe you've never seen Remember the Titans.
I didn't.
You would like Remember the Titans. It's Denzel. Like you need to give it a try.
A true story?
Yes, it's really good. It's really well done.
Oh, number three is Hoosiers. You didn't like Hoosiers? I liked Hoosiers.
Hoosiers is a fun, not really like a fundamentally type of movie as Remember the Titans, but yes, good movie. You know what I watched?
What?
And I think you recommended this to me, Mayor of Easttown. Wow.
Whoa. Pow.
Wow.
Wow.
Amazing.
Boom. Mayor of Easttown's good.
Because I thought, when I finished it, I was like, this seems like a show Colin would definitely like. And then I was like, he definitely recommended this to me like 2 months ago.
Very good.
Very good.
I'm going to admit I'm wrong. Not sure I'm ready to yet. No, I'm going to have Joy with the news first.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herd Line News.
All right. The NBA Summer League kicked off this weekend, and the league's top draft picks made their debuts.
This is interesting because this was a very good draft.
Yes.
The top five picks have a chance. I think four of them have a chance to be stars.
Yes. So the first overall pick, Cade Cunningham, had a decent start with the Pistons. 12 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. But he only shot 5 of 17, and he also had 5 turnovers. It's not the most efficient game for him. Then number two pick, Jalen Green, had a strong debut for the Rockets. 23 points, 5 rebounds, and 2 assists.
Now, I haven't seen, he's a G League guy, so I know he's talented, but I don't know anything about Jalen Green. Here he is.
Very talented and a very sharp dresser.
Look at that.
But the fifth pick, Jalen Suggs.
Oh, my guy.
Your guy. Game high, 24 points.
Boom.
In the Magic's overtime win over the Warriors.
Do you know Orlando Magic fell into Jalen Suggs?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fifth pick. They got their point guard for the next 15 years.
He also had 9 rebounds, 3 blocks, and 2 steals. So really good game out of him. Cade Cunningham's Pistons and Jalen Green's Rockets play tonight.
Oh, they do?
So if you want to see the two of them go at it, you'll be able to watch that. But yes, I love how, and I mean, a part of this is just our insatiable need for sports, but
right.
Summer League has really become...
Oh, it's a thing.
Like a thing. It's must-see television.
No, there's no question. They've done a... You know, I've always said the NFL does a great job with their schedule. We're just about ready to stop, and then it's free agency, and then I'm over as a draft. And it's... The Summer League is one of the great promotional success stories in league history that... I really sit down, like tonight, I will now watch that.
Yeah.
It's a real thing.
No, you want to see what these young guys have.
Yes.
And we're getting to know them on a more intimate level before they get to the league anyway. So Summer League has really become a great thing for the NBA. All right, so very weird situation. Michael Thomas will be missing the start of the season due to this surgery on his ankle. He reportedly cut off communication with the Saints for 3 months while he was rehabbing the injury with the original hope that he would have surgery. So the Saints wanted him to have surgery initially. He apparently put it off thinking that he could rehab it and then had to have surgery anyway, now closer to the season, so he will miss time. He seemed to come to his own defense on the timing of his procedure while also taking a shot at the team on Twitter. He tweeted, "They tried to damage your reputation. You saved theirs by not telling your side of the story."
Oh, brother, can we just get along here?
I don't know what's going on here. Again, I know it's not unprecedented for a player to purposely have surgery close to the season to get back at the team or to control, you know, his timeline. Obviously, we saw Scottie Pippen did that. Everyone keeps pointing to that because I find it very difficult to believe that he would purposely sabotage the start of the season for himself by having surgery. I until he says he did that, I am going to have a hard time believing that.
Here's the other thing. Does everything have to be public? Sean Payton publicly is mad, and then Michael Thomas takes a shot. Folks, you have a right to a private life. Like, I have argued with bosses my whole life. I don't need to go to Twitter with it. Like, can we just all, you don't, like when Sean Payton came out and was angry, it's like, Sean, don't do that.
Yeah, I did not think that was a smart move by
Sean Payton. And Michael, you're a great player. Don't do that.
Like, well, because once it becomes public, then you feel like you have to save yourself. You feel like you have to get involved in the narrative because you're just not going to let everyone else speak for you.
I know this is an old reference. Remember the movie years ago, Madonna, Warren Beatty were dating and she had a documentary?
No, but sure.
Okay. So Warren Beatty was a hunk guy and she was a rock. She was the biggest star in the world, Madonna. And they were doing a documentary and there's a point in the documentary that Warren Beatty's like, she said something private and he goes, does everything have to be, you know, common knowledge for everybody? You have a right to personal information that doesn't. You can fight with your boss. You don't need to rush to. And boss, don't go to the podium and call out your star receiver. Stop.
Well, because once stuff is let out, not only do people feel like they have to defend themselves on either end, but now we start to have our own opinions about it and fans start to have their opinions about it. And now other teams are involved in the situation. So even if you want to trade him and you're going to have to pay him what I think Schrager said, $33 million while he goes and plays for another team. If you do that, it's just a mess. And I don't understand why it, to your point, it couldn't have been solved in private. Like, why is it so public that all this is going on? And this is a rebuilding is probably extreme, retooling year for the Saints. You don't know who your quarterback is. You just moved on. Well, Drew Brees has moved on. Who was your Hall of Fame quarterback, who was the heart and soul of not only that team, but that city and organization. So it's just a lot going on with the Saints right now. You would want Michael Thomas out there for whoever is going to be quarterbacking that team. So it's just not a good situation. And at this point, I don't even know how it's fixable because it's getting so messy. So Seahawks left tackle Dwayne Brown has not been practicing as he is seeking a new deal in Seattle. And Russell Wilson made it very clear he would like his teammate back as soon as possible.
Not having Dwayne Brown out there is a, you know, pretty significant deal because I think he's one of the best left tackles in the game. You know, there's no arguing it. I think he's you know, as good as it gets. There's nobody more athletic, more talented than he is. You know, age is just a number, you know. So we definitely want to be able to get him back out there, you know, and we got to figure that out because, you know, we need Dwayne Brown.
I love how Russell Wilson delivers a serious message. He's just got the smile. We need him.
Yeah.
We got to have him.
He's really young. Age is just a number. Get him to me real fast or I'm going to be upset.
It's a good delivery, but he's not wrong. He was the fifth highest ranked tackle last season, according to Pro Football Focus. He allowed 2 sacks on 1,109 offensive snaps.
By the way, I want our people, don't play the sound of Russell Wilson. When you're a franchise quarterback and you go to the podium, this is what you should look like. Look how put together Russell Wilson is. Now, just put the picture. You can just don't roll the audio. Look at
him. I mean, Russell Wilson does look wealthy.
That is exactly cool, fashionable, serious, not trying too hard. That's what a franchise quarterback looks like.
You know what Russell Wilson looks like? You ever see those like really put together outfits in the store and they've just got like a lot of white on them and you're like, I could maybe wear that, but I would definitely get like spaghetti sauce or something
right
on it. Like, he could wear it all day and come home and just hang it back up and it looked like it was never worn. I agree. He's got it together.
He is totally put together.
And he is calling out the Seahawks. Now, this is going to be a thing moving forward for franchise quarterbacks. Not all. Don't panic. But the guys who have earned the right to speak out and call guys out in a nice manner. We were just talking about Sean Payton calling out Michael Thomas. Didn't say it with a smile. Like, this is how you deliver a message to the team. And he's right on top of it. Like, yes, Dwayne Brown is, you know, in his 14th NFL season.
But he's got, let me tell you something. He graded last year as the sixth or seventh
fifth
best.
Highest.
Okay.
And he's the 16th highest paid.
Yeah. No, Dwayne Brown's very good. Listen, Andrew Whitworth is in like his 39th year of pro football. So I don't want to hear about Dwayne Brown. Is he as good as he was 6 years ago? I think he is.
Yeah.
I don't think he's aged. I think Dwayne Brown is as good as he... If you have a top eight left tackle, I always think it, you go to a top seven or eight. Like, if you have a top seven or eight corner, pay him. Top seven. Left tackles are harder to find than receivers. They're harder to find than corners.
I mean, I would argue that after paying your quarterback, that's the next position you pay.
It's certainly for a right-handed quarterback.
And for Russell Wilson, who has been hit as much as he has.
Yep.
This is a situation they got to sort out.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
So as painful as this is, I have to admit I was wrong. So I don't want to get into my personal information. I'm not a big fan of chaos. You know, I tell my wife, I'm a creature of habit. I don't like, she's an artist. She can handle chaos. I'm not good with chaos. So a couple years ago, 3 years ago, 2017, I was very critical of the NFL. I said, you got the Chargers moving from San Diego up the road. You got the Raiders going to a different city. You got the Rams leaving the Midwest. There's too much instability. It's like chaos. Like, I mean, you got three teams and fan bases are pissed, and it's like, you know, I just said, and the other thing I said is the NFL would absolutely step in and save the Eagles if they were leaving Philadelphia. They would absolutely step in and save the Cowboys or the Steelers or the Packers. But then that's wrong, because the Chargers in San Diego and the Raiders in 2016 had the lowest attendance in the league. They're not the Eagles, and they're not the Packers, and they're not the Steelers. And the NFL has always been the sport, adapt or die. They change rules, pivot in a second. They're not baseball, stuck to the past, romanticizing the 60s. In the NFL, equipment, rules, practice, they change schedule, they change constantly. And the Chargers weren't drawing fans. It was an old stadium. The owners for 5 years had begged local politicians to build them a new one. And the Raiders were in a mess of a stadium and had asked politicians in Oakland for years to get us a stadium. And the Rams in St. Louis, let's be honest, they were kind of boring. Stan Kroenke wanted a new stadium. It's a baseball city. They didn't get him. Well, I saw a story this morning. The NFL was right. The Chargers have the fastest growing season ticket base in the NFL. They have reached 90% season ticket goals. They have flown past, the word here is blown away, that's the term using, the San Diego season ticket years where they averaged 46,000. They have blown past that. They'll get to 55. Los Angeles is a much more dynamic, aggressive business city. The Rams in St. Louis, God, St. Louis Rams feel like 100 years old. The Rams have a new stadium, a new look, a brilliant head coach, Matt Stafford. They're better for the league. Is it the Chargers? Hey, listen, I love San Diego, but they're not the Eagles. Nobody was going to the games. You know, I got nothing against the Bay Area. A lot of friends there. It's a great place. But every time they show a shot of that Las Vegas stadium in the desert, that thing looks amazing. It feels way bigger than Oakland. Those night shots, every time they show a shot at night of Allegiant Stadium, you're like, damn, that is juice. And when they show SoFi, that is juice. And I got to be honest with you. Not everybody is equal in the NFL. And I think the NFL would stop Philadelphia from leaving, and Dallas from leaving, and Pittsburgh from leaving, and Green Bay from leaving, or Denver from leaving. But this morning, the Chargers in L.A., it's kind of I told you so. They begged local politicians for 5 years to give them a new stadium, and instead, the number two team in the city, the Padres, got a gorgeous stadium, Petco. They had a site picked out, but local hacky politicians argued with each other, wouldn't pass it, and the NFL owner said, I'm out. And that's the NFL. On the field, adapt or die. Well, that's also the NFL off the field. They're not going to sit around and wait for your local politicians to figure out their bickering. You don't build us a new one. You give the baseball team a new one. We may just leave. Now, they're not going to leave Philly. They're not going to leave the Giants. They're not going to leave Pittsburgh. They're not going to leave Green Bay. There are a handful of organizations in this league that have proven time and time again, the Chicago Bears, in that lousy weather, they're selling tickets. They can't find a quarterback for 50 years since Sid Luckman. And there are a handful of NFL franchises. I do believe the league would step in and go, we'll give you a $2 billion loan to build a stadium, an interest-free loan. But all these moves, the league is better off today with the Raiders in Vegas. And the league is better off today with the Rams in Los Angeles. And I love San Diego, and I thought they were a cool franchise. And maybe they'd still be great in San Diego. That's the one I go back and forth on. But this morning, they're selling tickets. Justin Herbert in the division with Patrick Mahomes. They have an unbelievable stadium they begged for years and couldn't get. And now they play in the coolest NFL stadium. I get it. I mean, this league, on the field and off, is not sitting around and waiting for you to get your act together. They are not. This league doesn't sit around and wait for you to figure it out with your stadium, with your coach. You get fired. I mean, again, Jared Goff gets them to a Super Bowl. 24 months later, the Rams are off to a new quarterback. That's this league. It is not for the shy. It is not for the bashful. It is not for the timid. It is going to move on with or without you. And this morning, the Raiders and the Chargers and the Rams are selling tickets, are financially better off. I'm sorry. You choose baseball team getting a stadium over the football team. Good luck, local politicians.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jersey Mike's has a new grilled portobello mushroom and Swiss sub. Delicious. Try it. Fresh ingredients. Make a sub above. Jersey Mike's. Be a sub above. Good to have you in. I ate a five-day-old tray of lasagna last night. It was in my fridge. Nothing wears better than pizza and lasagna. Isn't it crazy? If you ate a hamburger and you put it in the fridge and you got up the next day, it'd be gross.
Oh, next day you could probably make it work. It's not going to be the same, though.
The tray of lasagna my friend David made and gave it to our family is last week. I had it last night, microwaved it.
Yeah. Lasagna has a good shelf life.
Oh, 5 days later, it was just incredible.
I don't think I'm going to be eating pasta for a while, though.
Well, yeah, you.
Not because I don't want to, but it's just, I mean, I got to give it some space before I get back to our kind of pasta.
By the way, so LeBron James reportedly called, you know, Russell Westbrook and Carmelo Anthony and said, hey, let's get the band together, right? And so Carmelo, they're all talking. Carmelo talked, not my favorite player. I don't know him personally, but, you know, whatever. He was a good little fit in Portland. And Westbrook's not my favorite player, but I kind of get it with LeBron. So Carmelo Anthony was sort of talking about, you know, LeBron James called him and said, let's do it.
LeBron came to me one time and just said, yo, the time is now. Like, I want you. We got to make this happen. You know, I just felt like for right now, I think, this was the best time for us. I mean, most people would say we should have got together years ago or early in our career, but we was in two different lanes. We was in two different paths. We was on two different paths. And, you know, everything come full circle, I'll say.
Listen, when you get into the LeBron business, the present is everything and the future is nothing. Most organizations try to balance that. You want to win now, not going to mortgage your future. Think of it like this. You know, your 401k is all about tomorrow, not about today. You sacrifice today for tomorrow. A day trader is all about today. Nobody cares about tomorrow. And LeBron's the best day trader in league history. That's the business you're in. The opposite of a SEP or a 401k. LeBron's a day trader. Can I make money today? And in the end, I'm going to show you something that's kind of funny. I'm not a Westbrook Melo guy, right? But, like, this is the game you play. This is just 3 years ago. This is the Lakers lineup from LeBron's first game as a Laker. So let's put it on the screen. It was LeBron, Rajon Rondo gone, Brandon Ingram gone, KCP gone, JaVale McGee gone. The bench was Kyle Kuzma gone, Josh Hart gone, Lonzo Ball gone, Lance Stephenson gone, Michael Beasley gone. The coach was Luke Walton gone, and the president of basketball ops was Magic Johnson gone. That is business with LeBron. Now, for the record, Pat Riley in Miami got very uncomfortable with this. Now, Cleveland stinks historically, so they are willing to do whatever LeBron wants. But Miami's a great basketball organization. And Pat Riley acknowledged he got uncomfortable with, like, giving everything away for the moment. But it should be noted that Pat Riley admitted in the last 6 months, if I had to, my choice of having LeBron now or not, I would give it all up to get LeBron back. So even though Russell Westbrook is an old 33 and Melo's going to be 37 and the Lakers only have one player, a young player who they really like, is this is the business. Not everybody has to do the 401k. Not everybody's comfortable with being a day trader. But you get into LeBron, it's about winning now. And by the way, he's delivered. He got the Lakers a title, got Cleveland a title, got Miami two titles. And next year, although I think they're too old, they'll be good. They'll be relevant. They'll be viable. And depending on Kawhi Leonard's health and the growth of the Suns or Clippers, they may end up again winning the West. I don't think they're going to win the title. Wouldn't be shocked this morning if you told me, yeah, who's in the Western Conference Finals? Well, Lakers are one of the teams. I wouldn't be shocked. As long as AD is healthy, I wouldn't be shocked. This is amazing, though. I went back this morning, looked at the entire roster. They're all gone. Isn't that crazy? The coach is gone?
No, you're right. Like, this is, I really believe this started in Miami once the aging of that roster started to begin. And then when he went to Cleveland's, from that point forward, you were going to have to do what LeBron wanted, but he's delivered. He brought a championship to Cleveland, which we thought was impossible, and now he's in Los Angeles doing the same thing.
So a story that we talked about earlier is Zach Wilson is the young quarterback out of BYU. He has had a rough weekend, has not been good in camp. He does look to me, he looks small. We showed some of the tapes of his struggle. He just looks small. And that's not – Kyler Murray's small, too. Russell Wilson's not ideal size. Drew Brees wasn't big. So I'm not saying – you know, Fran Tarkenton, when I grew up as a kid in the 70s, was great. He was small running around. You don't have to be huge. That's not what I'm saying. But he looks a little overwhelmed and a little small. And I want to play a bite from Mark Sanchez. Mark Sanchez is now a member of Fox. Sanchez was on our show about a month ago. And he talked about – now, Mark – if you recall, went to New York at a USC and had success. In the first 2-3 years, he got to the AFC Championship twice. He had a running game. He had a great defense. But he talked about, you know, even from USC, which is a glamour college program, L.A., right in the middle of L.A., Zach comes from BYU, which is, you know, small town, Provo, beautiful place, by the way. But, you know, Sanchez talked about the challenges of playing for the New York Jets.
Every time you go into a press conference, which is, you know, at least twice a week as the quarterback in New York, they got to debrief you on what's out there. So you're just constantly dealing with a sensationalized media market, with a superlative media market, right? It's either best or worst, and there's no middle ground. There's no 8-8 doesn't exist. Like, it doesn't matter. That might as well be 0-16, 0-17, right? The roster isn't nearly as close to where we were my rookie year. All these guys that would make plays to make up for my, you know, insufficiency at the time, you know, my ineptitude at the time.
Yeah, it's going to be a struggle here. And the other thing is, one of the crazy things is you can never really guess. I mean, did any of you think, yeah, Tom Coughlin will end up beating Belichick and Brady twice in the Super Bowl? I mean, he coached at Boston College. They beat Notre Dame once, I remember, when Notre Dame was like number one. I remember that. But nobody would have guessed cranky old Tom Coughlin would be a great NFL coach. We have no idea on Robert Saleh. So I've said this before about the American sports media. They like stories. And Robert Saleh's story is an awesome one. If you go back and look at his family, it's a great story. He's a handsome guy. He's got a great story. He's in great energy. Totally likable. I mean, Robert Saleh is just, you cannot help but root for Robert Saleh. He's good looking. He's got juice. He's got a great story. He's got a great family. We don't know if he can coach. And even if he can, I got Belichick, Sean McDermott, and Brian Flores, A+, A+. If Saleh's good, he'd be the fourth best coach. If he's good, he's got to be great in that division. Belichick, Josh Allen, Brian Flores, that's rough. The compact GLA proves it's not just the size of the SUV in the fight, the size of the fight in the SUV. Go to Mercedes-BenzUSA.com, MBUSA.com. Hour 3 next.